Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and open them up to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, if you would. I want to say this. I appreciate those of you who prayed for me. I am feeling a lot better and finally kind of rounding the corner. I know I'm feeling better when I wake up in the morning and I'm hungry. When I don't have an appetite, this boy is sick, all right? And so when my appetite comes back, and man, it came back yesterday with a vengeance. I was hungry all day long, so it was a tough day to get through, but I managed to make it. Acts chapter 3, I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of the view from the bottom. The view from the bottom. Normally we talk about, well, the view from the top. I've had the privilege of standing at the inside the top of the Washington Monument, and you've got four little windows up there you can look out, and the view is amazing, all right, from up there, all across Washington, D.C. I had the privilege of being in the St. Louis Arch that's there in St. Louis, Missouri, and man, it's a stunning view from up there, looking down on the Mississippi River, and you can see everything up there. That's a pretty interesting view. I've had the privilege of being on the top of the Rocky Mountains in Rocky Mountain National Park, and boy, it's amazing up there. Cross Beartooth Pass coming out of Yellowstone National Park, and boy, just gorgeous, gorgeous views there from the top. But unfortunately, we're not always at the top. I want to preach to you this morning on the view from the bottom, okay? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I started to have my son come up this morning and stand here with me, and we would sing a duet. We'd replay the first duet we ever sang together, because we sang verse 6 there, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Do you remember that? You were real little, barely, huh? He was pretty little. I had to hold him up here, and we sang those together, and he didn't sing with me after that for years. I don't know if it's my fault or his, but anyway. In Bible days, it was not uncommon to see beggars, to see people begging, all right? That, by the way, that's what asking alms, they were begging. They were begging. In those days, there were no government programs set up to help people. The church was in its infancy, so it could provide a little help. Folks with physical disabilities were really in a tough way. There was very little in the way of options, so many of them begged to make ends meet. And that was the situation here. Here is a man lame from his birth. Lame from his birth. And so he was begging, if you will, to be able to live. Now, that's not like today where people get on the street and you can't be real confident about why they're begging, all right? You can't. I've seen them with their signs, you know, and Usually most of them put down at the bottom, God bless you, you know, and those kind of things. But you say, preacher, do you give to those people? I never give. You say, what's wrong with you? I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I worry too many times about how many of them are really just a drunk looking for money to finance the next drink, or a drug addict looking to finance the next fix, or somebody who's just too stinking lazy to get a job. And so those that are begging, I never give. I have a practice. I almost never give people money. Never give people money. You say, why? I don't want them using my money to buy cigarettes, to buy booze. You say, you're hard about it. You can call me whatever you want to, all right? But I preach against those things. I preach against those things. Therefore, I'm not going to support those things. I had a fellow call me this week that we've helped in the past. I've personally helped in the past. And so he called me looking for help again. But as he began to tell me what was going on in his life, I said, wait a minute. You're asking me to support a wicked lifestyle. I said, I won't do it. I won't do it. The way you're living's wrong. It's a sin. You want me to support you in that? I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He said, preacher, you don't believe in helping people? Yes, but I don't believe in helping people in their sin. I'm just against it, all right? But in that day, if you were a beggar, you were on the bottom. You weren't there by choice. So I preached to you this morning on the subject of the view from the bottom, all right? I want you to note, first of all, the need seems overwhelming. When you're on the bottom, the need seems overwhelming. Hey, this lame man, boy, he was helpless. You read what it says about him, all right? He had to be carried everywhere. Had to be carried everywhere. And you got to understand, all right? You have to understand, in our day, even people with disabilities have a lot of assistance available. For instance, there were no wheelchairs. There were no wheelchairs in that day. Nothing like that existed. So if he went anywhere, somebody had to carry him everywhere he went. By the way, it was a permanent situation. There was no hope that one day it was going to end, it was going to get better. He had no hope that we'll find the right physician, and the right physician will be able to perform the right magic surgery in my life, and once he does that, everything will be good, and I'll be able to walk. He never expected that to happen, never thought it would. He realized what it is. It's been this way ever since my birth, ever since I was born. I've had this condition. It's going to be that. Man, things were helpless, and it looked hopeless, all right? It looked hopeless. You know, his problem started, as I said, at birth. The truth of the matter is, every one of us have a problem that started when we were born. Because we were born sinners. All of us. Now, we may be blessed that we weren't born with any kind of physical deficiency. We weren't born with any kind of physical problem that prevented us. Now, some of us have mental conditions. All right, we've got problems. But, hey, we deal with things, but we all have that problem. We're born a sinner. Born a sinner. Can I tell you this, man? That's at the bottom. That is at the bottom. Born a sinner. That man, boy, his problem is overwhelming. The problem of sin sometimes seems overwhelming, doesn't it? Hey, I'm preaching to a lot of people this morning that are saved, but did you ever deal with that sin problem and think, man, it's overwhelming? Hey, even as a child of God, it aggravates me when I have to deal with sin. And I have to struggle with it in my own life. You say, preacher, what kind of sin? That's between me and God, not between me and you, all right? But man, it seems overwhelming sometimes. Well, that's the view from the bottom. Now, I want you to notice this. The change in environment didn't alter his condition. You say, what do you mean? Well, where'd they take him every day? The Bible said, would you just look there in the scripture, all right? It says And he was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Man, he was brought to the gate of the temple, that gate that is called Beautiful. Now, wait a minute. Even though his location has changed, I'm assuming that just as a being a lame man who begged, and that was his only hope of income was begging, I'm kind of guessing he didn't live in a palatial residence, right? Nobody probably walked by his house or drove by it and saw the magnificence of it and said, boy, I wish I could live there. No, he probably lived in a hovel, man. I mean, a tough place, a difficult place, more than likely maybe even a dirt floor, all right? Nothing fancy, nothing to get excited about. But every day they bring that lame man and they lay him in that lovely spot, a place where the Bible said the gate called Beautiful. Now, you don't call the gate beautiful if it's ugly, okay? So he laid him in that beautiful spot, but he was still lame. Still lame. Change of environment didn't help him, okay? It didn't make a bit of difference. My friend, you and I, we need more than a change of environment if you're going to overcome your problem, if you're going to get off the bottom, okay? If you're going to get off the bottom, you need more than a change of environment. We live in a day-to-day where people seem to think, well, if we can just change the environment, we can't change that environment and expect it to make a difference for us. Now, notice it happened daily. Daily. Daily they brought him to that spot. Every day he was carried to a better place, didn't make him a better person. Didn't make him a better person. Didn't make him fit, more physically fit. Didn't make him able to walk, all right? I couldn't help it. I thought about it. They laid him at the gate. Did he ever get in the gate? Ever stop and think about it? Did he ever get inside the gate? I think of people today, they get to the gate, but they never get in. They get right to where stop short of where the real help is. And that's so many people today, same way. We change the environment and get them right up to the place where the help is, but they don't get the help. There's a lot of people today, they'll come up to church. I've been amazed at how many people show up at the end of church service wanting help. Can't tell you how many people, they know when church ends, they never know when it starts. And they get to the place that could have helped them, but they're a little bit late, and they don't come in. I'll step out the door, and there'll be somebody there saying, hey, I just want to talk to you, could you help me? I need some help. Hey, they get to the place, but they never get in. The change of environment, hey, when you're in the bottom, you're at the bottom, you can change the environment, but it doesn't change the person. But I want you to notice what he sought was something that couldn't really help his problem. Couldn't do it. Verse 3 said he asked an alms. An alms. He said, what do you mean? Well, he asked for money. He asked for money. Hey, could you, old-fashioned saying his brother, can you spare a dime? Nobody today asks for a dime. Nobody today asks for a dollar. They'd like to have at least five, but he asked for money. You know why? Because he was a modern man. And like most people in our day, we think money will ease the pain and cure the problem. We just had more money. I'm reminded of this in Matthew 20, 22. Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. People ask, coming, and boy, if I just had more money. Won't ask how many of you bought a lottery ticket this last week. I hope you didn't. But millions of people did. And millions will do it again this week. And millions will do it again next week. And we'll just go on and on and on. They'll continue to buy that lottery ticket, dreaming and hoping and thinking, if I can just hit the lottery, it'll take care of my problems. If I could just hit it big. Man, just that scratch off. Just if I could just do it. just hit it big. And then it gets fueled even more when somebody wins big. And you see somebody up with a check, you know, big, huge check that's advertising, I won this much. You go, boy, next time I'll get it. I'm going to pick different numbers. I started to say I have prayed. I haven't prayed. I've thought about praying. And so, okay, God, if this lottery hits this much money, I'm going to take that as a sign it's okay for me to play. And I'm just going to go down and get, I don't even know how to play the lottery, okay? But I used to, I heard people talk about a quick pick. Now, y'all need to be careful about revealing too much because it might tell about you playing, all right? I've thought about praying and saying, Lord, I'm just going to do the quick pick and you can put the numbers on there that are going to win. And Lord, if you'll do that, you know. Now, honest, I'm not looking to put it in my pocket. Honest to Pete, I don't know. If you said, well, if you had a few $1 million, what would you do? I don't know. Give it away. Man, I'd try to find some way to help somebody. But I'm not going to do it, okay? Not going to do it. But it's easy. It's easy for us to think, money. If I just had more money, it'd solve my problem. Hey, it would ease the pain that I deal with. It would help me to overcome it. And so that lame man, here he is, his view from the bottom was looking up, could you give me some money? Money's what I need. He didn't even know what to ask for. Now, if you're a child of God, you have an advantage. Don't lose your place here in Acts, but go to Romans chapter 8, would you? Romans chapter 8. You and I, we have an advantage when it comes to asking, okay? We have an advantage. Romans 8, verse 26 says this, likewise the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit of God, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hey, we have an advantage. A lot of times we don't know what to pray for. I've sat down before and began to pray and thought about somebody, maybe it might have been you. And I've thought, Lord, I really don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I've had people that were dealing with very serious health issues, very debilitating situations. And I've asked them, I said, what do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray for you? And I've had some say, would you pray for my loved one? And I say, how do you want me to pray? They were not doing well. They were dying. I said, how do you want me to pray? And we don't know how to pray, but we got the Spirit that helps us to pray. Hey, we don't know what to ask for. This fellow at the bottom, he thought the answer's money, and he's looking up, and he said, how about forking out some money? Can I say this to you? The greatest needs you and I have are not physical. They're not financial. They're spiritual. The greatest needs we have are spiritual needs. Money will not help that need. The physician cannot help that need. Hey, the richest people in this world remain helpless and hopeless because what they need is God, and He can't be bought. Can't be purchased. But you and I have access to Him. You're born again. You've got access to come into His presence and pray for what you need. Listen, when I say the greatest needs we have are spiritual, if you can get the spiritual worked out, you can get yourself right with God. It is amazing how the other things work out. It is amazing how they work out. You know, one thing you find out when you get right with God and everything's right between you and the Lord, you find out you don't want as much as you thought you wanted. You realize, you know what, I probably don't need the latest and the greatest. Just got something that works. Let it work. Glad it works, all right? So here's this fella, lame from his mother's womb. He had a need, a tremendous need. He was helpless. He was hopeless, all right? He didn't know what to ask for, and when he asked for the wrong thing. But, boy, we got one good thing to say about him. If he had one thing going for him, that's found in verse 5. Would you look back there in Acts 3, verse 5? It says, and he gave heed unto them expecting to receive something. He was expecting to get something. All those years. Now, you said, well, of course he was expecting to get something. He had asked for something, and he was expecting to get it. Well, wait a minute, though. All those years spent begging. How many times do you reckon he had been rejected? How many times do you think somebody had walked by him the way I go by people today? I said, I won't give them cash. Just won't do it. So how many times do you reckon that had gone on with him? But it never dulled him? Never caused him to get discouraged? Never caused him to be despondent? Never caused him to get depressed and where he said, I'm done, I'm not asking anymore. No, he continued to ask, but not only ask, he expected to get something when he asked. He expected it. Hey, when you're really on the bottom in life, it's easy to give up. It's easy to give up. It's easy for you to say that famous saying, life is unfair. Yes, it is. It's easy for you to think nothing good seems to ever come my way. All the good stuff goes to somebody else. You ever felt that way? When my brother and I were kids, we lived at 605 East 1st Street in Vidalia, Georgia. Right across the street from us was Threckle Motor Company, the Ford dealership there. And they were running a giveaway. A little Model A, motorized Model A, kind of a go-kart type thing, but not like the normal go-kart setup, but it was the little Model A that your kid, man, you get in and ride. And I remember we went over and we put our name in the pot. We were there. And we were there the day they picked the winner. Guess what? They didn't pick our name. But it's worse than that. We knew the person that reached in and picked the winning person. It's worse than that. After it was done, I heard them say, yeah, I saw your card in there. Well, just rub me off your list of friends, buddy. You know, we get that way. We think, hey, nothing good ever. Why? I don't ever win those things. Come on, be honest. How many of you ever entered a giveaway for a free whatever? Come on, you've entered. All right, good. How many of you won? Did you? Okay, look at those people. Mark them. Hey, you know, it's easy for us to get the idea. I never do it. It's always come somebody else. Somebody else. Those people. They get it. Nothing ever comes to me. Hey, it's easy to do that. You think life's unfair. The bad thing is, though, some people even get so bad when they get on the bottom, they decide God doesn't care. Some of them get deep enough that they decide he doesn't exist. When you're really on the bottom, you get to thinking those kind of things. But let me say this to you. I want you to notice in verse 6, this, in verse 5, that lame man looked towards Peter and John. expected to receive something, and then he heard these words, "Silver and gold have I none." Now, you're a beggar. Put yourself in that lame man's position. He looks to him, asking alms, expecting to receive something. The first words out of their mouth is, "We ain't got any money." And in just that instant, in my mind's eye, my imagination, I can see that lame man thinking, "Move along, next! Just move along, get out of the way!" But then, there's that word, "but." "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'll tell you, the lame man never figured to hear that. The lame man never expected that. He was expecting something, to get something, an alms money, but he wasn't expecting that. But I want to point out to you, Peter and John couldn't fix this problem. You say, "Well, wait a minute, they healed him." I'd beg to differ with you.
Amen. Come on.
I don't believe they did. I believe God did. I believe God used Peter, John, that day as the channel of the blessing that went to that lame man. And it was God at work, because Peter and John can't fix the problem. Too often we people, we men, get the idea that man can fix our problem. If I can just find the right person, if I can just get into the right person, they'll fix our problem. Hey, when your problem is spiritual, it takes a spiritual answer to fix it. It takes something supernatural sometimes. What this lame man needed was not the natural thing. It wasn't the ordinary thing. What he needed was the supernatural. But he couldn't even stop to dream that that would happen to him that day, all right? But the only way it could happen, they could get him in connection with the one who could change his situation. It was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hey, that lame man's situation changed. In an instant. In an instant, his situation changed. Can I say this to you this morning? You may feel like, "Man, I'm nearly at the bottom. I'm just hanging on at the very end of the rope." B.R. Lakin, I remember hearing him preach one time. He said, "If you're at the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on," all right? That's what you need to do sometimes. But when it looks so bad that you can't get there, I just want to tell you something. There's somebody can help you. There's somebody can help you. I don't know how bad your situation might be. I don't know what your specific instance may be. But I'm telling you, there is help available. But don't look to men for that help. Don't look to him. Isaiah chapter 59 tells us a wonderful, wonderful truth. In Isaiah 59, the very first verse in that chapter, here's what it says. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear." He said nothing wrong with God. Nothing wrong with God at all. His ear can still hear. His hand can still reach you and help you. I believe with all my heart our God's still in the business of meeting needs. You said, "Preacher, you don't know what my need is." Nope. But I'm telling you, he's in the business of meeting needs. He can do what nobody else can do. He did for the lame man what nobody else could have ever done. But he healed him and he restored those legs. The Bible said immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood. He didn't have to practice walking. Here's a man that never walked. Never walked. You remember your child learning to walk? Remember what it was like? I've always thought little kids most of the time look like little orangutans. So what do you mean? You ever watched orangutans? There's little kids. And they're balancing, they're trying to walk, they're trying to get it down. They practice, they stumble, they fall. This fellow had never walked. He didn't know what it was to have a sense of balance, but man, when God did it, he did it completely. And immediately he was healed, and immediately he was able to leap up and stand and to walk. And not only that, but to leap and to walk, all right? To jump. All of that. Why? Because of a touch. Touch from God. Hey, you're at the bottom. The view from the bottom's not very good. It's helpless. It's hopeless. Doesn't seem to be an answer to the problem. You've tried things out. It doesn't work. Maybe you've even shifted into a different place and still got the problem. Yeah, maybe you thought you could run from it. You left one state, went to another one, or you moved from one house to another, or you moved whatever to somebody else, you know, but still dealing with the same problem. Hey, it seems hopeless, nothing going on. You've asked, but you've asked for the wrong thing. Here's the problem. The problem today is God's still in the business of meeting needs, but men don't come. Men don't come. They don't call. They don't call. Sometimes men call, but then they don't listen to the answer. They don't really listen to the answer. They won't take the hand that is offered. They won't take the hand that's offered. No, that's not the way I wanted it. Hey, God sends that help. We refuse that help. They don't follow the instructions that are given. Y'all know I'm dealing with some issues physically with kidney stones. Listen, when the doctors do this, do that, I try to listen to what he says. Try to do what he says. I want some help, okay? But so many in this day, man, they don't listen when God says something to you. The preacher preaches, you got spiritual problems, you got spiritual issues, but you don't come, you won't call, you won't listen for the answer, you won't take the hand that's given, you won't follow the instructions. So guess what? You wind up hanging on to the problem that you have. You keep carrying it with you. You wind up buried under the need. You wind up still sitting without hope or without help. You say, what's the answer? When you're at the bottom, the view from the bottom, there's one way to look. Look up. Look up. But you know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I've talked to some people, man, and they're on the bottom. But you talk to them, and they're looking around. They won't look up. They won't look to the one that can help them. And listen, you're sitting at the bottom, you're dealing with issues today, you think there's no hope, there's no help, you're looking the wrong way. Look up. Look up. That lame man was laying there, Peter, and came up, fastening his eyes upon him. In verse 4, he said, look on us. That forced that lame man to look up. Forced him to look up. Our problem is, boy, when we get down, and we're really down, we just get looking around and we look for somebody else to have pity with us. We look for somebody to cry along with us. And oh, we need to be looking up. I'm going to tell you, the lame man looked. He expected. He took that helping hand and he got more than he ever thought possible. More than he ever thought possible. Let me say this to you. There's still a God in heaven. There's still a God in heaven. He's the same God that's always been. He's still concerned with me and you. He's still concerned about you. He's still concerned about the issues you deal with. He's still ready and willing to help you. But you need to come to Him. You need to come to Him. Whatever the need is, you need to bring it to Him. He said, "Preacher, I come." Yeah, but sometimes we come, but we're not willing to listen. We come to tell. We come to tell. I've sat down with people a lot of times and said, "Preacher, I need help." I said, "All right, let's talk." And man, they told and they told and they told and they told. And then I'd begin to try to talk with them, and then they want to tell me more. No, no, wait a minute. You came, you said you wanted some help. Well, here's what the Bible says to do. They walk out the door and never do it. Never do it. Hey, nothing wrong with God. You won't listen to Him. Boy, you're at the bottom this morning. Look up. Look, expect to get something from God. But listen. Take the hand that He offers. Let Him pull you to your feet. But you got to pay attention to what He says you need to do. It's not going to be your way. It's going to be His way. God dealing with you this morning. You've got some issues. You've got problems. What are you going to do about it? Well, preacher, I came this morning just to get a little encouragement. I'm going to take my problem and go home. There's a great old song that says, "Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there." Oh, man. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Would you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Purposefully this morning, I've really tried not to name any particular issue or problem or trouble. I've done that on purpose. I said, "Why, preacher?" Because I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with. It could be a multitude of things. But I want you to know the Lord's ready and willing to help you if you'll come to Him. But you need to come. If you're here this morning lost without Jesus Christ, you need to come and trust Him, accept Him as your Savior. You need to do that. You need to do that. Oh boy, you got problems. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Don't sit there thinking, "Well, I'll take it home, think about it." No, bring it to the Lord. You said, "He doesn't care about me." He does care about you. He cared about that insignificant lame man. He cared enough to send Peter and John by. Hey, He's cared enough to get you here to hear the message. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Our Heavenly Father, I pray You'd deal with folks this morning. Lord, help us to see our